I guess I would say I grew up in a Christian home. My whole life, both of my parents had come from Christian backgrounds, but it wasn't the same form of Christianity, I would say. Both sides of my family come from very different backgrounds. My mom grew up Baptist, but she was Lutheran for most of her adult life. And my dad had an entirely different style of Christianity that he came from. The preaching was different, the teaching was different, music was different. You can say my dad's dad, he was a preacher, his sort of denomination or what you would call their faith is more like Holy Roller Light. You know, there's no dancing in the aisles, but they talk over the sermon, you know, preach it, amen, brother, tell it like it is, that kind of stuff. Don't you do that, by the way. We're losing, okay? But it would be like that kind of thing. The name of the church was Mount Zion, Church of God in Holiness. You can kind of get the idea, even from the title. I've never seen anything like it. It was very special as a little kid to be exposed to that kind of rich spiritual life, emotional and exciting. My grandfather, he had a go-to verse that was actually in this chapter. His go-to verse that he would go to whenever he experienced something that moved him spiritually. Like on TV or in a conversation or something. He would hear something that just kind of moved him, and he would say, Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Isn't
that Bible check yet?
Yeah. Jesus wept. And my grandmother, she had her go-to verse. Her verse was, God is love. God is love. And they would do, they were the Jesus wept and God is love couple. Why do we quote this verse? Is it because it was so short? I mean, my grandfather, he memorized verses. He came from that tradition where you memorize verses. He memorized verses in the King James. And he knew a lot of them. Why was this short verse his go-to verse? It's interesting. It was simple. And it spoke about Jesus in a unique way. Something that was unexpected. In fact, when I first read this chapter as a little kid, I asked my grandfather, because it was the verse he always quoted, Jesus wept. I was like, what is wept? He goes, cry. He was emotional. He was loving these people, and he was moved by them. Jesus cried. All right. Wow, I never thought that before. This is one of those times in the New Testament where Jesus is truly moved. There's a few other times where you kind of see it, but this time is one of those times. The whole event of Lazarus' death was emotional for Jesus. He was close to these people. They were his really, really close family friends. Why did he get so emotional? He knew that Lazarus was going to be raised. He predicted it in conversation days earlier. Why would he get all emotional about it? The whole scene speaks to the authenticity of Jesus' humanity. Jesus has great faith, but it's inside of a lived experience in real time. He still emotes with the people who were suffering. He still reacts to their pain. And it speaks to the fact that God cares about our suffering. God cares about our struggles. We see God in a personal way that we would never see outside of His Word, outside of the Gospel. Jesus asked the question in today's lesson, that I want to challenge us with. Jesus asked Martha, do you believe that your brother will be raised? And Martha says, well, yeah, of course, you know, on the last day, the general resurrection, of course, you know, he'll be raised like all of us, you know. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. What does he mean? So I want to ask the same question to you. Do you believe that everyone can be resurrected to new life who are dead in their sins? Do you? Not just resurrected in the general resurrection at the end of time. I mean resurrected from the dead in this life. Do you believe? In the here and now. This is an odd passage. And I have to say, as I got older and kind of got at the seminary age, and I kind of reviewed this passage, it presented some problems. I don't know. It was just kind of one of those passages where I thought Jesus was the first one to be resurrected. The first fruits, that's what the Bible says. How is it that Lazarus was raised from the dead before Jesus? It causes confusion, you know? How can someone be raised from the dead before Jesus was raised? Is this a real resurrection? And how come it's not in the other Gospels? I mean, it's only in John, by the way, right? Did you notice that? I'm asking too many questions. Okay. We shouldn't give John a hard time because Jesus raised Lazarus' daughter, or I'm sorry, Jairus' daughter, in Mark. And he raised the widow's son in Luke, right? So this is not a unique thing. But Lazarus was different. Lazarus was different. He was dead for 4 days. He was dead, right? He was very well known, a very popular figure. So for him to raise from the dead, a lot of people are going to find out about it. It was a big deal. Why was the raising of Lazarus so pivotal in the gospel story? And why do scholars like to point to it as a pivotal moment, a turning point? I believe it starts the actions and the momentum and the tipping point for Jesus' arrest, trial, and crucifixion. That's why the passage is the last passage in Lent, leading in to Holy Week. There was a group of Pharisees that came to Mary and Martha to comfort them in their time of need. And there was also a number of neighborly people that were kind of gathered around. He was a very popular guy, so people are all there comforting Mary and Martha and their family. And many people ended up believing in Jesus because of this event, right? Because of the miracle. But only a few were skeptical. And they went to the Pharisees who gathered together and asked themselves, what are we going to do about this? In verse 48, they kind of give you an idea of what they're thinking. Verse 48 says, if we let him continue like this, everyone will believe in him, and we will lose our status and our nation. It's better that one man dies than the whole nation perishes. According to the high priest, Jesus was going to have to die so that the occupying authorities would not react to kind of civil unrest and rebellion. They were afraid that Jesus would gather the greater people of God from abroad, and that would be seen as some kind of potential revolt. That's what they're kind of worrying about. So they plotted to have him killed, to have him silenced. Does God raise Lazarus from the dead as a warning to the church? The Pharisees already believed in resurrection. Why don't they support Jesus? You would think, because they're different than the Sadducees, you would think that Jesus was their God. Why wouldn't they want the diaspora, the Jews all over the world, to come back home? Bring God's chosen people back to the land of promise and live for the hope of resurrection from the dead. That's kind of should be their message. Why not prioritize the life of the world to come over this life as Jesus was preaching? Why not place their focus on eternal things rather than obsessing over the here and now? This is a summary of what we should be focused on during the Lent season. That is the theme of Lent. That summarizes everything that Lent stands for in a nutshell. That's what we should be asking every morning when we wake up in the 40 days of Lent. Why do I let the temporal struggle of my life overwhelm me when I was made and meant for eternity? I'm going to read that again. Why do I let the temporal struggles of my life overwhelm me when I was made and meant for eternity? Lent is about prioritizing the resurrection over the things of this life. The things that are temporal. The things that don't ultimately matter in the end. When we live for this life, when we live for the life of the world to come, I mean really live, when we place the gathering of the body of Christ as number one in our lives, we already live resurrected lives. I think that's what Jesus is saying. This is why Jesus says, those who live in this way and believe what I have to give them will never die. When we witness the raising of Lazarus from the dead, we are reminded that God can revive us from our slumbers at any time, under any circumstance. We are reminded that it is never too late to revive a dead soul. That revival is possible even in this life.